The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Most preachers have a Christmas is getting too commercial sermon in their repertoire. I used mine last year, commenting that no pastor would be able to responsibly spend what a New York department store did on just window to decorate the entire church. I also noted that a professional ad man on Madison Avenue had so targeted our children that they could tell us in July what we would be buying in December. After the Mass, I was reminded by several parishioners that department stores are in decline, and even the ones that still exist don't do much with windows anymore. This didn't surprise me, as I remember that my last few times in a department store, I felt that my presence was an imposition on the sales staff. What did surprise me was, although it was that we now have ad women, that agencies are not on Madison Avenue, and that we are really being targeted by algorithms. I was asked if I noted that the advertisements on my screens are for things I might actually want. And did I think that this was a fortuitous accident? Now, all this sounds is a brave new world that I probably am not going to participate in much. But it did reassure me, because my basic point then, as now, is that there are two Christmases. The Christmas that is our national day of consumption, and the Christmas that is the celebration of the birthday of Jesus. One is transactional, the other relational. And we cannot use the means of the former to increase the latter. If anything, I think the observations of our parishioners have reinforced this for me. Also, I have a very powerful ally. At the beginning of Advent, Pope Francis issued an apostolic letter on the meaning and importance of the Nativity scene. You may find a link to the full version, as well as selections from it on our website and was in our weekly email. It can be read in about 10 minutes. And is a wonderful meditation on the Christmas mystery. But also, as usual with Pope Francis, contains practical advice. Of all the overtly religious customs that we have at Christmas, the setting up of the creche in our homes has been the last to go. Pope Francis suggests that the first reason is that it reveals God's tender love. We see him as a powerless baby, defenseless and born in the meanest of circumstances. Attempts to somehow make the stable a palace was tried in the post-Reformation, most particularly in Venice, and it looks ludicrous. Nothing so indicates God's love as much as the infant Jesus in the manger. Theologically, we know that Jesus becoming a human being was so great a change of state that it does not make much difference if he was a king or a beggar. But seeing the Lord and creator of all, that is, in swaddling clothes in a barn, effectively communicates what Francis calls the feel and touch of poverty, which God's Son took on himself in the Incarnation. But there's another dimension which also acknowledges feel and touch. Creche is something we build or assemble ourselves. Often it is handed down from generation to generation. The creche I had as a child, which is now about 80 years old, I gave to my niece so that she could set it up with her nephews. Especially when children are very young, they ask questions about things such as, where are the walls? And did the animals make noise at night that kept Jesus awake? My favorite observation was from a girl who, when we were setting up the creche at a previous parish, wanted to put at least a fireplace in so that Jesus would not catch cold. They really do see everything. We can talk all we want about the meaning of the Incarnation, but setting up a nativity brings it home more powerfully than any words I have ever used. Francis, as we should never forget, is a Jesuit. And Jesuit prayer is based on the imagination. It's often called the prayer of composition. A Jesuit will look at a scene from the gospel over the course of days and ask, what would the situation smell like? If he were there, what would he have heard? Who else would be there? What did Jesus' face look like? He is therefore very concerned about setting the scene for the Nativity. And I will give two examples following him. When I was assigned to Saints, he asks first about the landscape. He notes that many nativities include ruins of ancient houses or buildings, which in some cases replaces the stable or the cave. Emphasizing this tells us that Jesus is newness in the midst of an ancient world. And he says as well that he has come to heal and rebuild, to restore the world and our lives to their original splendor. When I was assigned to St. Saviour's in Park Slope 40 years ago, some very creative people made a backdrop of brownstones and other urban buildings and replaced the stable with a utility shed. It changed the way I looked at the Nativity. God became human in a special time and place, and if changing the background brings this to the fore, then some work with cardboard and an X-Acto knife might be in order. Now, for those of you who are under the age of 50, an X-Acto knife. See, there was once a time when we didn't do everything on screens, that we actually built things. Incomprehensible, I realize. And you would take wood, usually, again, to use a question you never heard, balsa wood, and you take a knife, very special knife called an X-Acto knife, and you would cut around something, and you could actually make something that was 3D that you could hold. I realize this is not part of our experience anymore, but you know, it might be worth to learn older skills. There's also a question of adding figures to the creche itself to make it more personal. I'm a great fan of the British science fiction series Doctor Who, and I have been given figures from it to put around the creche over the years. The Pope particularly suggests putting figures of beggars and the homeless in the actual stable or cave with the Holy Family. Another suggestion, which we see in the Great Christmas Creche at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, is to have people going about their normal daily activities. I love taking children to the Met and walking around the tree with the scenes under it and asking them, what would they ask? What would they want to put in the scene to bring it home to them? The answer has been mostly children on bicycles and skateboards. I haven't seen that yet. But I do have a friend who puts figures skating. We here at St. Charles have the custom of blessing the Jesus figures of our nativity scenes at the end of Masses, the Sunday before Christmas. I've never done this before. I came here, and it seems so obvious that I don't know why it isn't more common. A nativity at home is itself a blessing, a reminder of God's love in the very middle of our lives. When we have them blessed together in church, we are acknowledging that we are receiving a blessing by being a member of a community. It comes from our relationship with Jesus found in this church. However powerful the psychological profiling of advertising professionals that can make us want something, and however accurate the algorithms which can keep those images on our screens and in front of our faces, they cannot substitute for the warmth and the light of Jesus, who appeared to us first as a helpless child. To end with the words of Pope Francis, let's open our hearts to this simple grace so that from our wonderment, a humble prayer may arise, a prayer of thanksgiving to God, who wished to share with us his all, and thus never to leave us alone.